19, and starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it." Now, what he's talking about is he heard the news that the Assyrian king had boasted about what he was going to do. And, you know, I never really cared for bullies. I don't like them. I like to see them get taken advantage of, you know. If anybody gets whipped, I want it to be the bully. Amen. I'm like, just something inside of me. I don't like bullies. And that's what this king is doing. And he sent to Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." So the servants of the king of Hezekiah come to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me." I want to stop reading there for the sake of time, and I want to preach on this thought: what to do when you receive bad news. And I want to say this to you: you're going to, sometime in life, you're going to get some bad news. There's going to be some things. And when, in preparing this message, I went back and got the worst news that I'd ever received in my life. I was 5 years old. And at 5 years old, I'll never forget this, Brother Ed, the night that my mother died. That was the worst news I'd have ever received. That was probably, in that period of time, the one of the last times. I had never seen that. And out of all the years that I've been in church, I have never seen a man weep like my dad wept the night my mother died. That was bad news. He never got over that. I never got over that. Bad news will come to us all. What are we going to do when we receive? Are we just going to fall apart? You can. There's lots of options for you. Matter of fact, if you go back and read chapter 18, the king sent a cherub. He sent them the option. You know, if you will take up some funds and pay me, you know, I'll let you. You'll be all right. That, if you just give me something. But that is not the options that we need to have. First thing you need to do is don't heed the cry of the enemy. Don't listen to what the devil, this fella here is a picture of the devil. Don't listen to him, because he even gets in there and boasts about all the other gods. He said, don't let Hezekiah get you to trust in this God that you are worshiping. He's just like all the other gods. Wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. See, here's the problem with the world. I don't care what certain situations you're in, even in the medical field, they have gotten so smart, they have excluded the God of heaven. They think that they can do everything, they can work miracles, and by no means do I want to ever let you think that I'm against medicine or operations or any of that. But I want to tell you something. If you make it through your operation, it ain't because of no doctor, friend. It's because God in heaven's blessed you to get you well and get you home. Don't put your trust in them, because they're mortal men. And you know what, Brother Ed? They're going to die just like we are. See, the first thing you find, if you look in 2 Kings 18, and you'll find that he says, if I can find this verse, In verse 20, he said, "Thou sayest, but they are vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war." He said, "Now on whom doest thou trust that thou rebellest against me?" You know what he's saying? He said, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust this God that's like all the other gods? I've already defeated them. Because there is no such other gods. There is no other living God. There's only one God. His name is Jehovah. I'm trying to tell you, the God that we serve is not like all the other gods. He is above and beyond anything you could call a God. Because there is no God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only God there is. And you know what this fellow said? You're going to trust in him? He said, don't let Hezekiah convince you that you can have some help. I want to tell you, friend, it's not over until it's over. There is a God in heaven, and he does answer prayer. He'll hear you when you cry. There is a God who has all power in heaven and earth. He created everything you see and everything that you don't even see. There's galaxies out there that we have no clue that are out there. But the God that we serve, that's the one who made them. Don't do that. Don't listen to them, because they have a wrong opinion of the God we serve.
Amen.
Now, another thing. In verse 22, at the end of that, he says, "You shall worship before this altar." He's talking about all the high places and all the altars that the Hezekiah had taken down, and he didn't understand the true meaning of what true worship was, because these places are usually for false gods, high places. That is not the altar of our God. Now, here's another thing that they'll do. Don't worship your God. You know that the biggest attack in the church today is worship. Worship. Most people don't want to worship. That's the truth. Most churches, they like it's quiet. They don't want no noise. They don't want no amens. They don't want no hallelujah. They don't want no tears. Why? Because don't mess with my emotions. I just want to come. I want to just sit. And I want to come Sunday morning. I ain't coming Sunday night. And I ain't coming Wednesday night. And I ain't coming to revival. Don't even ask. That you're asking way too much. But I want to tell you something, friend. When this thing is over, everything you've done other than what you've done for God is going to be forgotten about. All the money you've made, all the homes you've owned, all the cars you've owned, all that stuff, it ain't even going to be in your memory when you step in heaven. But I tell you what will be something you can take with you, is that you is a true worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church world fights worship. The world fights the fact of God, but the church world fights worship. They want you to sit there like a knot on a log, like Hank Williams sung Kalijah, the wooden Indian. Barry Spears preached a message on Kalijah, the wooden Indian. It was about how people come to church and don't say nothing, you know. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Yeah. The reason we ain't saying so is we're not excited about it.
Right.
One of the biggest... The problem in the world is not the world. The problem in the world is the church.
Right.
We have gotten so... we don't want to offend nobody.
Right.
This book here offends everybody, even the Christians.
Yeah.
It offends me.
Yeah.
The things that God does, I wouldn't do it like... I'd say, God, if that was me, I wouldn't do it like that. He said, well, it ain't you. I ain't asking you. Has God, Brother Morris, God ever asked you your opinion about the book? He ain't never asked me mine. There's things in there I don't understand, but I want to tell you something. One thing I do know, and ever since I've been in church, the most fault thing in church is worship. They don't want you to worship. You go to church, and churches die that don't worship. I know people right now, they're losing their kids. Not in this church. I do know some people outside of here. They're losing their kids. You know why? Because they come and there's no excitement in the pew.
Right.
Would you want what some dried up religious nutheads got? Huh?
Amen.
Would you want that?
Yeah.
If you was 12 years old, would you want to go to a church where they sat there and looked like These kids don't want it either. They want something that's alive, and they want something that's real. You know, we've had several pets in our life, but when they died, we got rid of them. We never kept any dog after it died. After it died, we buried it. And that's why these kids are coming to church and it's dead, and they're wanting. That's why they go to these crazy churches. Y'all listening to me? That's why they go in Eastern Kentucky. You can ask Brother Ray. He's from Eastern Kentucky. I wish Miss Crystal was here, but she's not. She's from Eastern Kentucky, and I pastored down there. You can't be a Baptist and be successful in Eastern Kentucky and preach the truth. The only ones that can make it is those that don't believe eternal security. You have to be either Church of Christ or Pentecostal, because you either have to be dead or you have to be running around looking like a racehorse after it's been shot up on steroids. I'm just telling you, I know. I'm from that area. I know how it is. People want something that, you know, I mean, good grief. Why would you want to, I mean, I'm just saying, why would you want to be around something that's dead?
Right.
You know, that's why you see that the maniac of Gadara hanging out in the tombs. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, sure.
I don't care who you are. It's weird to hang out in I do go to the graveyard. I don't hang out there. I don't take my supper and my drink and go over and sit down at the gravesite and have a dinner. No, I don't do that. Why? Because that's weird. You go pay your respects and leave. Worship. This guy, he talked about worship. Why is it that we have to struggle with worship? Because we can't get over our flesh.
Right.
Our flesh don't want us to worship. Because the flesh is pride. It's full of pride. Your flesh is, and so is mine. There's nobody in here who says, my flesh is under control. No, you fight it every day. The worst person you can deal with in here is not me. It's not Brother Ray. It's not anybody else. It's you. It's the person that you look in the mirror every morning. That's the rascal that's causing you more problems. It ain't even crazy Joe Biden. It's you that's causing you the problems. And that's why we don't have a lot of excitement in the church world as a whole. I'm glad that if you don't worship here, it's your fault. Because Brother Doug has always promoted worship since I've been here, and if you don't do it, it's on you. God will not make Brother Doug Foster, give an account because they didn't worship. It'll be on you. You know, in verse 23, here's another reason why you don't need to listen to the enemy. He thought that God's people were weak. He says, in verse 23 of chapter 18, he said, "Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses if thou be able on thy part to set riders on the..." You know what he's saying? He said, "You're too weak to even get on the horse and ride out to battle." I want to tell you, you know why the world thinks we're weak? Is because we're nice. There's a difference between me and being meek and being weak. There's a whole lot of difference between being meek and then being weak. See, people that are weak are cowards, but people that are nice to people and smile when they should be frowning are people that are meek. And you know what they are? They are not weaklings. God's people, I want to tell you something. If you want to be a Christian, go out there and try it. It's always those that, Brother Christian, that are not saved are telling you how to live. They're telling you how to do it. And you know what? They won't pick up the cross. They won't pick up the book. They won't pick up their cross and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they don't know what this is really all about. They didn't heed. They won't heed this. The call. You can't pay much attention to what when the doctor tells you it's over. And the reason I know that, I've seen God do too many things. When my son-in-law was 28 years old, he went to have, he's got Crohn's. He's had Crohn's ever since he was 18 years old. And on his he was 28 years old, he went over here to St. Elizabeth to have a surgery. And before he went in there, the doctors asked him, said, "Hey, do you have a living will? He said, no, I do not. He said, well, you better get one, because you probably won't make it through this surgery. He's 40-something now. 40-something now.
Amen.
Evidently, they wasn't in charge.
Yeah.
Evidently, God must have done something.
Yeah.
They've had their troubles and trials through all this Crohn's disease, but I want to tell you, every step of the way, God's given grace.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, but I know Brother Doug knows Dana Williams, a great preacher. And I was listening to him preach one time, and when he was pastoring, he had this lady took deathly ill. And he went to the hospital. And she was, basically, the doctors had told her she wouldn't live through the night. And so Brother Dana tells this story. He said, I went in there to see her. You know, she's a member of my church. And I go in there and talk to her and, you know, pray with her. And he said, I walk out of the hospital room and I'm walking down the corridor. And the Holy Spirit says, would you like for her to live? He said, well, sure. He said, why don't you ask me? He said, I went over there and asked the Lord. All I did was a simple little prayer. God let her live. He said, I went the next morning. She was packing her clothes going home. You know what it is? We forget stuff like that. You know what? We remember the hard times. We don't remember all the things that God's done for us. The gas that God's put in our car, the tires He puts on our car, the food He puts in our belly, the shoes He puts on our feet, the clothes He puts on our back. You know what? We choose to forget all that, but we remember when things went wrong.
Right.
You know what? Another key is don't lose hope.
Amen.
You know what? In losing hope, here's what they did in verse 1 in chapter 19. Listen at what he said. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it. Heard what? The bad news. First thing you do need to do is you need to hear what's being told to you.
Yeah.
If somebody says you got cancer, you need to take that serious. If somebody says you got a illness, you need to hear what they're saying, because these doctors are not dummies. They are not. But they are not God either.
Right.
Who they are smart individuals that have forgotten that God does all the healing and not them, for the majority of them.
Right.
Not all of them. See, what you need to do is you need to take the bad news that you receive and index that into your memory and say, now, God, what's our plans? What is our plan of attack to take care of this problem that we have? If you've got a wayward child, you know what you do? You need to hear that.
Yeah, right.
I had one out of my home for 13 years. It was 13 years of misery. You say, what did you do? I just kept every day. I just kept walking every day. I just kept praying every day. I didn't think God was ever going to do anything. You know, after 13 years, Brother Ray, you could have a tendency to quit
sure.
And to give up.
Yep.
Don't lose hope. Why? Because the God that you serve is capable of doing more than you can even ask Him to do.
Right.
If you can't conjure up enough stuff in your mind to see what He can do, then you've got somebody that can control your situation.
Yep.
You need to hear that. You know, somebody, I was telling Miss Sunny about my experience of going over to having a hip replacement. It was funny, because I don't take none of that stuff serious. They made me drive all the way to Grant County, all the way up here, so they could tell me what they was doing. And I still didn't know what they was doing. Well, I don't know nothing about no hip surgery. If I know anything about hip surgery, I'd have done it myself. So we're sitting there, Brother Ryan, in this room. A whole bunch of people. Every one of us either getting a hip replaced or a knee replaced. This nurse, she's got this television, and she's on this television, she's showing what they're going to do in each situation. Well, there's afterwards, the nurse said, anybody have any questions? And there's a lady next to me, right over back in here, she starts using words that I'm like, she's a whole lot smarter than I am, because I don't know what in the world she's talking about. And the nurse said, are you a nurse? And she said, yes. So she says, I'm to the point, I am so afraid that I am going to back out of this surgery. Now see, if you ever get to the point to where you have to have a knee or hip replaced, you're hurting. Because the night that I came home from work, with the last night before I had my hip replaced, I told Rhonda, I said, if I have to go one more day like this, just cut my leg off. That's how bad it hurt. Okay? So here's the point. The lady sitting over here didn't let the nurse respond. She said, hold up. Let me tell you what they're fixing to do to you. And I'm like, what in the world? She said, they're going to cut your leg almost all the way off. And I'm like, lady, I wanted to jump up and say, you are retarded. This poor lady is almost, she's to the point to where she can't even move. And she's giving her advice. So I want to tell you something. Don't listen. You know, don't be paying no attention to them. You listen to it. I want to tell you something. God's in charge of your life. God's got a plan for your life. He's ordering your life. Don't you hear what they're saying, but don't let that just scare you half to death. Because the worst thing happens is you go to heaven. You may not want to go, but I would imagine. Let's just imagine, all of us, let's imagine, if God would let us look into heaven right now, there's not a one of us that'd say, let me stay here. Yeah. Right. We'd all be wanting to go. Amen. Amen? Listen, next thing he did was he humbled himself. Look at this, and he said, and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of God. You know what? You know what the church needs? A good dose of humility.
Yeah, absolutely.
We come in here, and I want to be honest with you, the reason why we're a proud people, and I want to just give you some advice. If you're ever at a red light, and you're at that, say you're going this way, and you're going to turn left, and there's people turning this way, look at those people. Most miserable bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Huh? You ever paid any attention to that? These people are miserable. They're miserable. Why? Because you know what? Man cannot be satisfied with all of this junk. The more junk you get, the more time, more you spend time worrying. We as a church have got more than any other generation. We've got more than anybody's ever had. These kids are starting out a lot more than what Rhonda and I ever started out with.
Sure.
We started out in a hole. And I mean, the hole was really big. And we barely climbed to the top of that hole. You know, God's been too good. There's a danger in God giving you so much.
Right.
You know what that danger is? You forget Him. All through this Bible, you read it time after time. The children of Israel left God after He had blessed them abundantly.
Right.
They don't leave God. They don't leave God when they're in there and they're sitting in the closet afraid somebody's going to kill them. They're hiding in the rocks in the cave. They don't leave God then. They call, oh God, oh great God in heaven, come down and help me. And if I'm being honest with you, if I was God, I'd say, yeah, help yourself. But He keeps coming. See, if you don't want to lose hope, you need to humble yourself. But then the third thing you need to do to not lose hope, you need to go to the house of God. When you got troubles, don't leave God's house.
Right.
This is the answer right here, brother. There is no answers out there. I remember when I was pastoring, I substitute bus driver. Don't do it. Go work in the coal mines. Don't do no bus driving. For these little kids, they're devils. Uh, had a guy told me, he said, when I retire, I'm going to substitute bus driver. I said, Tony, if you do, I said, do it of a morning. Don't do it of an evening. He said, why in the morning? I said, on the way out, mama gives them Ritalin. And they get on the bus and they got their head like it. Of an evening, they're wide awake. And them June bugs, they're coming out of there wired, man. I had this one little kid, you look in the mirror, and he'd be back here. And next thing I know, he'd be breathing on me. I'm like, I said, this guy, like, this kid's like a squirrel, man. I'm like, I'm like, go take a chair, brother. You know, I'm like, come. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to hit this just a second just because I can. These kids are out of control. They don't need Ritalin. They need a good whipping.
Yeah, that's right.
They just need a good spanking. A good no.
Yeah.
Yeses are not good all the time.
Right.
No's are a good thing.
Amen.
You say, well, I've tried to paddle. You ain't tried it hard enough.
Right.
You said it don't work. That goes against God.
Right.
Brother Moore, does that not go against God? What does God say about that? You see, when you say paddling, you know, everybody says, oh, you're going to mistreat your kid. I'd never mistreat my kid. And I'd beat you down for trying to do something to them, to protect them. But I want to tell you this. You can't go against the principles of this book.
Right.
God says, foolishness is bound in a child, but the rod drives it far from him. What foolishness? You say, well, I've tried spanking and it don't work. You ain't trying hard enough. Huh? You can get it done if you try. See, what I'm trying to say is they're going through all these other things to try to straighten up these problems. They're trying to overcome all this bad news with all education, psychiatry, psychology, and, you know, all of this stuff. And, you know, all it is vain. It ain't going to help. Why? Because what we need is the Bible and the God of this Bible.
Right.
See, we need to, I thank God, I tell you, the heroes that I have are these kids right here. These are great kids. That's a testimony to this church. These are great kids. I've been around a lot of kids. Like I told you, I said, I know families right now, they're losing their kids. And Brother Christian, it's like they're blind.
Mm.
They don't see it.
Mm.
They don't see it. And I would be willing to say, if I'm still around them, by the time these kids get up and leave, they'll never come back to church. You know why? Because they don't worship. Kids need some excitement in their life.
Right.
I need some. I might be 65. I ain't dead. I like to come to a church where there's, you know what? Where there's that door of opportunity to worship God.
Right.
You know, we don't have to hang down off the ceiling, but praise God, at least we can say a good, healthy amen every now and then. Shed a tear every now and then.
Right.
And that's what bothers me is these parents are, I don't know, they're just like the biggest dummies ever lived. They don't even see that their kids are walking out the church and there's coming a time when they're not coming back.
Right.
And it's all because they're not doing this book. Listen, third thing, man, is they send help for the man of God. I want to tell you something. Leadership's a key. I don't care what it is. You see our government's going to pot. You know why? Poor leadership. You know why this church has good kids? It's because it's got great leadership.
Mm?
Because these parents and these grandparents have took the advice of Brother Foster and applied that advice to their children. I want to tell you something, friend. This church, if something happens to Brother Doug, and God forbid, and you get somebody in here that's not going to do things like he does it, you're going to see a change.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you the importance of having the right person in this building. Having a man. Do you think that Isaiah wasn't a good, he was a prophet. He knew, he'd give them the words. You know what Brother Doug does? He gets up here, and Brother Adrian knows what I'm talking about, because I have pastored. And I'm telling you what, to pastor a church, I never had a time when I didn't have butterflies in my stomach. I was nervous all the time. Why? Because I want to tell you something. It's a big deal to try to lead God's people. And if you don't think it's a big deal, you don't think much of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
See, verse 6, you know what he did? He revealed the Word of God. Our pastor does his best to feed you.
Amen.
He does his level best to feed this. I mean, I don't know where he gets some of this information from, but it's great information.
Sure.
Hmm? Just some of the details. I'm not talking about, you know, let me say this. This Bible, I know it's on a third grade level. I believe that's what I was told, King James, that you can read it, comprehend it. But there's some complexity about it too.
Right.
You ain't never going to find out all there is in this book. And you sure ain't going to find it out if you don't have a good preacher. Because
yeah,
he's a very, very, very important. Amen. It does matter. It does matter who stands up here and proclaims the Word of God. And we are blessed to have the great preacher that we have. Because why, he reveals the Word of God to us. You know, so many people, I heard this preacher said, he said, it don't matter what I can yell and holler about anything in the world, but if I say anything to you to live right, you get mad at me. You know what people do? There's something wrong with people who won't heed what the book says.
Right.
You're either not saved or you're not grown up.
Amen.
I can't tell you which, because it's not my job to tell you. Another thing, when he asked, he showed them how God responded to the enemy. He said, you know what happened when Paul run into God? You know what he said? He said, you know what you've been doing, he said you've done that to me. Paul's probably saying, what are you talking about? I don't even know where you're at. He said, because you have went against my church, you've killed my people. God takes it personal. How does he respond to your problems, Ray? He takes it personal. People comes against you, he takes that personal. That's how he responds. And I want to tell you something. You know what? When you got these problems coming in around you, even though God lets them come, you know what, Brother Ed? I have tried for 60 years to figure out why my mother had to die when she was 27 years old. There is no answers. No answers. And there'll be no answers. You say, well, when you get to heaven, when I get to heaven, it won't matter.
Right.
But I want to tell you something. God responds to your problems. I don't know how he responds to them, but I know he's very concerned about us. He's more concerned than we are.
Hmm?
Huh? But if you read it, and I ain't got time for sake of time's sake, is that God will revenge your enemies. You don't stand up against God. I thought one of the messages I wanted to preach tonight was out of the book of Acts, when Herod fell dead and he was eaten up with worms. I liked that. That was great. I loved to see that. I'd like to see that happen to some of our leaders right on the television. He just fall over dead, and they go over in there and all there is a bunch of worms. That'd be great. That'd be neat. I wanted to preach on when Herod got his due. You know what God said? You're going to get your due for what you're doing to my family.
Amen.
He's going to have it. And this last of all, I want to preach on this thought about when you get bad news. You got to become honest. You got to be honest. lot of people want their problems fixed, but they won't be honest. You know what we want as a church whole across the world? We want to say it's the White House. It's Franklin, Frankfurt. It's our police department. No. No, it ain't. It's us.
Amen.
We're part of that problem.
Amen.
Why? Why are we part of the problem? Because we ain't doing everything we can do. There ain't nobody in here can stand up, I don't think, and say, but Lord, I've done more than you've ever asked me to do.
Amen.
They got honest because they confronted their problem. They said, you know what? You know what? We're here because of what we've done. And you know what America is? They are where they are because of what we've done as a whole. And I'll say this, and when our next election, if this thing is going like I think it's going, we'll never have another election that's going to be right. And you know why? Because the church has sat still and sat quiet for so long. We've been rocked to sleep by things. And what them things, whatever your thing is, we're all guilty. There ain't none of us that's not guilty. You know, when they've killed the millions of babies that they've killed, we wouldn't miss a day's work to go up and fight against it. Well, it's quiet. It's the truth.
Amen.
We can't amen that. You know why? Because it's a brutal truth. We want to stand up as long as it don't cost us nothing. Long as we don't have to lose no pay. Long as we don't have to spend money. Long as whatever. But I want to tell you something, folks. We are not going to get out of this without giving account for it. Every one of us are going to stand before God, and God's going to say, why didn't we do more?
Amen.
And y'all don't know about you, but that scares me. Another thing, you got to confess. You got to confess your failures, your weaknesses to God. Not to me. I don't need to know them. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got them. If you say you ain't got them, you're lying, so that's one of your weaknesses. We've all got them. I told you earlier, the biggest enemy you have is the fellow that looks you in the mirror when you get ready for work or wherever you're going to tomorrow. You know, he'll fight. We're going to have days when we have bad news and trouble's going to come. I think we've got more bad news coming. But I tell you what, there's a God in heaven who's on our side. He don't forsake his children. Last thing I found out about this is that they counted on God for help. You know, the worst kind of Christian is the one who thinks he can do it. The worst kind of preacher is the one who's got it down pat and he knows how to do it. The worst kind of singer is those that can sing. You say, what do you mean by that? They know they can. Always, this is something I always thought was really interesting. I'm going to sing a special, but don't pay no attention to the way I sing because I can't sing. I'm like, no, that ain't how you feel. You really think you can? That's why you said that. People think they can. But you know what? We can't even get, there's an old gospel song that says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you something.
Amen.
We're nothing without our Lord.
Right.
We're nothing without God.
Right.
We wouldn't even have enough sense to get in our car and drive home tonight because of him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, I don't know why God wanted me to preach this. All I know is he did.
Amen.
And somebody might get some bad news. You know, somebody might lose a job. We might lose a loved one. Brother Christian was talking about the situation there. And, you know, bad news does come. But you know what? It ain't the end of everything. There is a God in heaven. Brother Christian, you come.
Do you struggle to find good Bible-based resources to supplement your personal devotions? If so, head on over to ibcflorence.com today and click on Bookstore, where we have a ton of resources. And as always, thanks for listening.